Blog Talk Radio.
Jake the Snake Roberts here, man. Happy damn birthday, man. You're the birthday boy. That's little B, baby O, and chicken shit. Why? Why, I do not know, but it is that way. You know, you have a very good friend, and Tommy. So you guys have been friends for 40 years. When you were up for early retirement, but was denied this week by an idiot New York mayor. So you're a little bit down. Yeah. Doesn't seem right, man, when things don't go according to the way we believe and the way that we've worked for. You know, you put your time in, you do what you're supposed to do, keep your nose clean. And when it comes time for you to be rewarded, it doesn't seem like anybody's there to hand out the badges and the trinkets and the check. Brother, hang on, man. Hang on. Don't let go of it now. Don't blow your top. Don't do something silly. But just keep doing what you've been doing, man. Providing, loving, sharing, and taking care of your people, man. That's the big thing, isn't it? So, I don't know how much longer you're going to put in, but hey, brother, there are worse things. I mean, trust me, I know a lot of them. I was some of them. But don't do that. You got a great Tommy. I'm sure you guys got plans to do something cool or fun or both. Just try to keep it in the middle of the road, man. Don't hit the ditches. Ditches ain't cool. All right.
Fight to the death.
with the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Mono Pack.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the live Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from High Atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday, June the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2022. And the year is flying by, boys and girls. We're almost in the middle of the sixth month of the year. Weather's been beautiful. A severe storm last night woke me out of a sound sleep at 1 a.m. Couldn't sleep for about 2 hours, but whatever. A little tired tonight. Had to get a 5 hour energy in me to get the show. Mother effer. Let's get that up and running. Hold on. Sorry about that. Again, now we are live. Sorry, I'm going to start this all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 3 hour. Well, that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from High Top Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful city Monroe, New Jersey. We are your 3 hour weekly get together to bring you the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. Sorry, guys, a little discombobulated. Got home late. Had some stuff going on in the house. Just got myself up and running. So, anyway, thanks for hanging in there. It's got plenty to talk about tonight. We got the Rangers and their series, their Stanley Cup finals, not the finals, sorry, conference finals with the Lightning. Been a great series. We'll talk about that. Deshaun Watson back in the news, and I don't know if he's ever going to be out. We're going to talk about the LIV Golf League, Kyler Murray, Beavis and Butthead. Let's see, Kiss, Aaron Donald, Metallica, Alex John Such, the original bass player of Bon Jovi, passes away. We'll get a little about Alex John Such. We'll talk maybe about the top three NFL defensive players of all time. Jeff and I will give our opinions. Transgender cheerleaders. What's this world coming to? We'll get that up in there. Mean Mark. I'm going to see if Jeff knows who Mean Mark is. Jack Del Rio, Rusty Harden, and so much more when the Hard Rock and Sports Show goes live right now. So sit back, buckle up, buttercup, and let's get the show started. And there's only one way I can get the show started. Hey, Mike, what? Rangers in seven. I'm with you. Good evening there, Willie Cloak. Willie, I'm shot out of a cannon. 5 hour energy the whole bit, my brother. But we got a lot to talk about. Maiden's on the road again. They opened up out in Europe. They look really old. I got to tell you. They play great, but boy. Dave Murray looks like an old English grandmother. Holy cow. Man, it's tough getting old. But listen, I digress. Let me get the backbone of the show, my buddy of 40 years and the sexiest man on his side of the screen on the air, and that's, of course, my pal, Mr. Jeff Towinski. What's up, F.A.?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. Listen, a little discombobulated. We did some work in the house, and I literally put the studio back together as we're getting on the air and had to rehook everything back up and all out of the good shit. So, but we're back on the air and ready to get rolling. Jeff, we'll start it up the way we always do. Jeff, how was your week?
Well, I have a confession to make.
Wow, right here on the air?
Right here on the air, yeah.
Go for it.
I was asked to do something last week,
mm-hmm.
and I sent you a text today.
Yes.
Explaining what happened when I finally got the chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got a little time before the show, so I'm going to try to do what I was asked to do last week before the show.
Okay.
So I sat there, and I'm trying to do it, you know?
Okay.
And I'm doing Lou Gehrig's stats, and I'm dividing by 14 instead of 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how the fuck does this average go down? Like, it's going down instead of going up. I don't understand what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Right.
So I found out what the reason was.
Which was?
Well, they projected his stats.
Okay.
And if you read the projection,
mm-hmm.
like, they did it over 162 games. It has to do with the games and the years played and everything else. I got to have to sit down and figure out exactly how to do it, because if I take 493, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it right here while you're here.
Go ahead.
493, and I divide by 17, I get 29. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do 493 and I divide it by 14, I get 35.21. But if you look at his stats on stat.com or whatever it is,
yep,
they're actually higher because they projected 162 games over 17 years and came up with that number. So that's why my number is lower.
Okay.
You understand what I'm
saying? I got you. Yes, I do.
Yeah, so basically I'm retarded even with a calculator. I have to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do about it. So,
all right, well, we'll figure it out. We can always hold it for next week. There's no rush to get it on the air. Baseball's a long season, and there's always time on this show to talk about Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. But Jeff, before we get the show started, I know you wanted to do a little. You know, you seem to be the guy who kind of brings in the dedications to the show and make sure that we watch out for social things. And I know that there was a couple of losses in your wife's life, in your life, and I know you want to dedicate the show. I have a couple pictures up and prepared. I guess you'll tell me who's going to go first so I can figure out which picture to put up.
It doesn't matter, whoever you put up first.
All right, hold on a second. I will bring up this picture. Give me 1 second. And go ahead, Jeff.
Well, that is my wife's friend, Nisha Cooper. My wife has been friends with Nisha for a long, long time, since before we met. And sadly, Nisha has been battling some health problems for the last couple of years and unfortunately lost her battle just the other day. Sad, my wife was good friends with her, and they did a lot together before we met. And, you know, my wife has a void in her life now. Was her friend. She misses a friend, of course. Uh-huh. And it's a shame of what happened. I'll keep my personal feelings out of this. I just think that this is a lot to believe that she could have still been here if things were done differently. That's all I'll say. But I just wanted to, friends of the show should be acknowledged too. So
100%.
A big rest in peace to Nisha, and no more pain for you. And, you know, one more could be said. And
gone too soon.
Shame, man. You know, shame that it happened. But rest in peace.
Oh, my God. Our condolences to Nisha, her friends and family, and especially to your wife and yourself. I can't imagine the pain that's bringing to your wife. But, you know, we'll be happy to acknowledge you're here. And, you know, we hope it helps in a small, small way. Jeff, I'll bring up the second picture for you. You can explain this one next.
That is Motley, as you can see.
Yep.
That is my wife's daughter's dog that she's had for 14 years. And unfortunately, Motley woke up Sunday, I believe, Sunday morning, if Sharon could answer that. And he wasn't feeling so well. And as the day went on, he didn't get better. He wasn't eating. He wasn't drinking. And it was his time. And my wife's daughter, Brittany, had him for a number of years and got to enjoy him. And he probably did more as a dog than some people do in their life, move all over the place. Mm-hmm. And sadly, the end of the line came for Motley. And, you know, there's not much more to be said. When you lose a dog, it sucks. You know, part of you goes with the dog, I feel. And we just wanted to acknowledge him, too. You know, both of us being pet lovers, and we've done the pet benefit shows a couple times. Just wanted to bring this up to commemorate him also.
I'm glad you did, Jeff. And it's unfortunate that our pets don't live long enough. You know, it's a shame that they can't have longer, healthier lives. It's a shame. You know, they bring so much joy and love to us. You know, it's a shame that God takes them way too soon and way too early from us.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. So, but again, our condolences to Sharon's daughter and to your whole family, Motley and all of our pets are parts of our family. I got two little guys. And they're just like kids to us around here. So they're a big part of our lives, and our lives revolve around them. So I can only imagine. I can't imagine actually what the pain that she has. But I'm glad that she got 14 years of joy from Little Motley, who seems to be a very cute little guy.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Like you said, you said that all in a nutshell. You have them for a short time, and
yep.
There's not much that you can do when their time comes. You just make them comfortable, and you have to make that hard decision.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she had to make that decision on Sunday, and it is what it is.
Yeah, listen, it definitely is what it is. And how's the new schedule working out with the Thursday, Friday off, weekends working? Are you happy with it? I know the money's good, but are you happy with it?
No. Matter of fact, because I'm playing Saturday today, I work today instead of being off Thursday and Friday.
Gotcha.
So I didn't have to get up early, go to work, and all that other stupid shit come
okay.
You know, Saturday. So, and Sharon, you're welcome.
Yes, absolutely. Hey.
So I went to work today and worked 6 days straight. So I'll be off for two. And Saturday night we got Lithium at the Lily Reds.
Yep, saw that. Yep, I saw that all posted by
This place is about the size of a bathroom. if there's enough people in there and somebody lets one ride, it could blow the wall out.
Hey, we're gonna promote that through the whole show. Maybe just like that through the whole show. I wanted to acknowledge. I want to play a video for everybody. I didn't get a chance to do it before the show because I was discombobulated. But let me play this video and then I'm gonna do some thank yous right after. Hold on.
It is. Get ready. Get ready.
Get ready. I want to say that thank you to our dear friend. And I call him a dear friend because he's on here every week watching us, and they've supported us since we got hooked up. And I want to thank the guys from Black Sasquatch, who I am a huge fan of and love having Ted on to talk music and sports. Those guys are big sports guys. And but I want to thank Mike Weissman for putting that video together for Jeff and I and for being big supporters of our show. And Jeff will tell you we're huge fans of Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co.
Here we go. Right here. What I got, Cushman's. I got to order more.
Yeah.
This stuff makes your beard feel, well, I don't know about your beard, Tom.
Working on it, Jeff. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Makes your beard feel nice and smooth. No more frizzy shit. Without it, my beard's all over the place. With it, it's all nice and neat and stuff like that. I mean, I'm an ugly man as it is, so I need all the help I can get here, you know?
Mike, we love you and Joe, and thank you guys for being supportive, and thank you for taking the time out of your life to put that video together. And there's another video that they did for us, and I'm going to play that real quick for everybody. And by the way, Jeff, your bandmate Raul's out there chiming in. I think he wasn't too happy with your description of the joint, but hold on for the video. Give me a second. So if you're out there and you're looking for some,
didn't we have that one before?
We've had that before. Yes. I just wanted to play it again. Huh?
The music at least.
No, we had that same video. That's the video we've had from the beginning. And then Mike did the other one. But guys, if you're out there and you're buying some, you know, Father's Day's coming up. If you guys get the chance, you go to Hemp Wizard, Beer Care Co. And you can pick up the man in your life and possibly the woman in your life also. Some beard products, some beard care products.
I want you to go there.
I'm just saying. You just
I will. I will.
You will.
I will.
Go ahead.
Got yourself an Italian girl. She's hardcore, especially closer to Sicily, the area they may be. You may want yourself some Cushman's, just like this. There's oils and all kinds of good things to keep that hair soft. You may also want a pair of hedge clippers. So you can trim it down. You can take it out in public.
And remember, they also have a full line of skin products, you know, lotions and stuff. So, you know, if it's not just about beards, but please check my friends out. Those guys are great. They're good people, and we support them so much here. And also our dear friends at Black Sasquatch who, you know, allowed us to use the music for the videos. Those, Bob and Ted and the boys. Yeah, those guys are great.
Have we gotten kicked off of YouTube yet?
Not yet at all. Thank God. So, but thanks to the boys at Hemp Wizard and Black Sasquatch. They're good friends of the show. And, let's hope that at sometime in the near future, we can sit down, have a couple of beers and talk beard products and Sasquatch and all the other good shit.
Would be nice.
Absolutely. But thanks to all you guys. And Jeff, again, Lily Red, Saturday night, right? What time?
9 o'clock we're starting. Best in 90s alternative. A lot of different things happening. There's going to be some acoustic numbers. There's going to be some electric numbers. But, I enjoy playing with Raul and Mike Campbell. And now we have this guy, this young guy, Anthony Bordano, I believe his last name is, a great guitar player. And it's coming along pretty good.
Good.
So we're going to go out there and have a little summer fun before it gets too late. And next thing you know, it's fall. But 9 o'clock it starts.
Oh, very cool, man. I'm glad. I know you how much you enjoy getting out there playing music in front of people and possibly letting one loose while you're at it. And
oh, not me.
Not you?
I don't know. I've reached a new plateau in life.
You have?
Yeah. Only at home. Only at home.
So, again, I hope you guys have had a good week. It's lots going on in the sports and music world. We got no shortage of stuff to talk about. I also want to talk about the Jets and some new Ring of Honor people. I want to get to that right off the bat, but I want to get my dad on. He's hanging in there. So let's get my dad on, see what he's got to say this week. And then we got no guests. It's just me and Jeff for a couple hours. And we'll try to inform and entertain you as the song used to say. Hang on a second. Let's get my dad on. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Mr. Florio?
Jeff, I was just curious. I heard your conversation before about something with Lou Gehrig.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious. You were talking about 162 games. If I remember right, back then they only played 154 games.
What happened was is me and Tommy wanted to project. Lou Gehrig played for 17 seasons, but three of those 17 seasons were partial seasons. His first 2 years and his last year, I believe he only played 8 games. So what we wanted to do was project his numbers over 14 full seasons instead of projecting them over 17 seasons.
Right.
So when I went to go do it, I got a little confused because the stats site that we go to projected his stats as like a career projection over 162 games.
Yeah, they do. They projected over 162 games,
yeah.
Even though his seasons were 150-something games. Yes.
Yeah.
Very peculiar.
Yeah. So, I guess, you know what, especially nowadays, nobody knows that years ago in baseball, even down to like 148 games at one time, I think?
Well,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I it goes 1926, they were playing 155 games. So I must be before that. But I guess in order to compare that, now again, this definitely screws around with his stats a little bit because instead of projecting it over 154, they're projecting over 162, which is a little different, but again, it's based on a year, I think, so more than anything else.
For 14 years,
mm-hmm.
You're talking an extra 7 games.
Yes.
So that would have been 70, 98 games, almost an additional season. So it would actually, it would have almost been 15 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to sit down and figure it out a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be curious to find that out. Sounds very interesting.
Yep.
So what's
cool.
New, guys? What's new, Tommy?
Oh, Pop. Yeah. You watching the Ranger series?
I watch it, and I see two Ranger teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
I see when they play in New York, all over the place. I see them when they're on Tampa, and they look like they were scared of them.
I would say this. I think this is a team, the Lightning, who's a veteran team, Hall of Famers, 2 years in a row they've won the Cup. I think the Rangers have been the better team for 75% of the series. Up until the third period of Game 3, the Rangers have been the best team by far in this series. Listen, it could turn into a home series. You know, home team wins, which would be great. I think tonight will tell you a lot about the Rangers. If they come out and they get they get beat tonight, I couldn't possibly see them beating this team 2 in a row after that.
I when I watched the game,
mm-hmm.
I saw them when they got the 2-0 lead in game three, I got scared because I said, I know what's going to happen. They're going to go into their defense. And that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were just throwing the ball. They were letting Tampa stay in their zone almost the whole game. Mm-hmm. They were getting shots one, and you knew eventually once they scored that the game was over.
Well, you know, to me, the change in that whole in this whole series was up 2-0 Rangers in that game, and immediately after the second goal, the Rangers took a bad penalty. Trouba took a bad penalty, and the Lightning scored a power play goal. And I had thought if the Rangers had gotten out of that second period up 2-0 or had gotten the third goal, I thought the Rangers would have won that game, and they would this series would be close to being over. And that momentum changed the whole thing. They win that. They go ahead and go on and win that game. And in Sunday's game, the Rangers weren't even in it. Tuesday's game. The Rangers were not even in the game. So it's been a good series.
The one thing that neither one of you have mentioned so far,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tampa Bay is a seasoned playoff team.
Correct.
And they have been the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, they won the cup at least twice.
Two in a row.
Two in a row the last two years. Okay, I thought Pittsburgh had won the year before.
No, 2 years in a row.
Even harder for the Rangers. You're playing the defending Stanley
Cup champ. 100%.
You know, Rangers have been playing nice. I haven't been paying much attention to it, but I see what everybody else is saying about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to just start going in there and, you know, taking out the defending champs. And
No, this is
in a row for a reason, so.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I think that, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I think the Rangers are playing with house money. Nobody thought the Rangers would be in this position. I think if the Rangers have made themselves, they've done a nice job. And they haven't been embarrassed. They weren't swept. You know, the Panthers, who most people thought were the best team in hockey, or at least in that conference, got swept. You know, the Rangers have played really well, and I think the future's bright for this team. I think you get to this point, and you've changed it from I'm happy they did what they're doing to you really want to have a chance to go ahead and win the cup. So I don't know how you feel, but I think the Rangers are playing with house money.
I see that a lot in all sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mets are winning, the Mets are ahead. They shouldn't be there. You know, they're playing with the house money. You know, God knows what's going to happen next year.
Of course.
You could lose a couple of your players. Somebody gets hurt. Your goaltender is not the greatest. I don't care what they say. You're not the best goaltender around.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen way better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see it's baseball teams, too. Oh, this team, they won 100-something. They're ahead of schedule. So it's not a big – you don't know what's going to happen next year. You may not be in it next year.
No, I agree. Listen, I agree with you that you got to take advantage of every opportunity you get. You don't always get these opportunities, even when you are a great team. So I understand that, and I agree. But I still nobody thought the Rangers were good enough to get to this point. And, you know, being down 3-1 to Pittsburgh, Jeff, then being down 0-2 to Carolina and coming back and winning both those series, you know, the Rangers have done a nice job, but I agree with Mike Weissman. I would be shocked if anybody beat Colorado in the Cup. They're just a great team. They dispatched Edmonton, another great team, 4-0. So, Jeff, you know, there's something to be said for taking advantage of the opportunities, but I think you can be a little ahead of schedule.
Listen, hockey is the one sport where every year there's a Cinderella team lurking. And maybe it's the Rangers. You don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking like that this is it. The next game is it. They're not out yet. And until they're out, they're still in it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're going to win, but you just don't know. And, I mean, like I said last week, the year the Rangers didn't win the Cup, who did they play in the Cup? They played the Vancouver Canucks. They finished eighth place in the West that year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, an eighth place team took the President's Trophy winner, the New York Rangers, in 1994 to a seventh game to the last seconds of the game for the Rangers to close it out. So until it's all over and said and done, nobody is out of it yet. Right now, Colorado is a team. I don't know much about them because, like I said, I didn't watch much of it. But they've been sitting, and they still got to sit, especially if the Rangers win tonight. So, you know, maybe Colorado loses some of their steam that they had going in. A little rust develops, and one of these other teams go in there and jumps out to a quick two-game lead.
Mm.
So, you know, it's still plenty of hockey left, man. It ain't over yet.
Yeah, no, tonight's a big game. I think this is a huge huge hockey game, you know, game five. It's a bigger game for me that for the Rangers than it is for the Lightning. The Lightning, I think, is good enough to come out and beat the Rangers two in a row. I don't see the Rangers being able to lose tonight and then come back, win out there, win down in Florida, and then come back home and win. It's not impossible. But I think, you know, you lose a third game in a row, I think it's the momentum's gone.
Oh, I agree with you there. I think tonight's the game that's very, very important. And I think the Rangers have to dominate. They have to go into – you can't give up 2-3 goals.
No.
I mean, you whatever you get – and you got to play the whole period.
Yep.
I see a lot of them just throwing it in. And but they haven't had two people come back tonight. That third center.
Yeah. Are they playing?
Yes.
So Strom's playing and Heel's playing. That's good news for the Rangers. It's really good news.
Available.
Yeah, well, that's good. Big. I mean, tonight's a huge game. Again, for the Rangers, it's a huge game. You go out there, you win this game, everything's in your court. You know, now that you've changed this whole series around, and now, you know, the Lightning's got to come out and win game seven at the very least in your building. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, what makes that good is if the Rangers win tonight, puts all the pressure on Evan, on
Tampa.
Tampa, because now they got to go back. They definitely have to win at home.
Sure.
Then they got to worry about winning at home. They got to worry about coming back to New York.
Yeah, to me at that point. Yeah.
You guys know sports is very jinxed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You say nobody won at home. They're very jinxy people, so should be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Should be a good game.
Yep.
All right,
Pops.
I guess that's it.
Right.
Nice talking to you. Have a good weekend, Tommy. I'll see you. I'll call you Saturday morning.
See you Saturday morning, Pops.
Okay.
Yep.
Take care.
See you, Papa. That's my dad. He checks in every week with us, and we love having him on the air with us. Jeff, do me a favor. You do math well. Do me a favor.
Yeah. Okay.
Do me a favor. So if you had done something 66 times over 17 months, what's the average per month?
66.
So it'd be, yeah. So basically it would be 17 divided by, or 66 divided by 17.
66 divided by 17.
Yes.
That's 3.88235294.
All right, so for shits and giggles, we'll just say it's 4. How's that? We round up a little bit.
We could say 3.9.
I like to round up. Let's work with even numbers. So,
okay.
Jeff, if I had said to you, hey, Jeff, I went to White Castles 66 times over the course of 17 months, would you say, Tom, it's a little much, ain't it? Would that be your answer?
Yeah, even in my world, that's a bit much, man. Yeah.
So if I told you, Jeff, I've decided to get a massage 4 times a month, 66 times over the course of 17 months. Do you think it's a little much?
I see where you're going here.
Line of questioning here, Mr. Tawinski?
You're talking about this two different things. You're talking about professional athlete who's, you know, maybe under duress, under stress. He needs to loosen up and everything else. And then also maybe he wraps a couple hundreds around his Schmeichel with a rubber band, and it just happens to fall out the bottom of the towel.
Let's break it down a little bit. So let's say, okay, you're an athlete, and part of your routine is you like to get a massage between games, maybe twice a week to help stay limber. I get it, but don't you think at some point, you'll find one particular person who you go, they do a great job. Let me keep going. It's like getting your hair cut. You know, I went many years. So the last girl who cut my hair before my wife started to do it, cut my hair for 10 years straight. I get a haircut. She cut my hair. That's how it works. She cut my hair well. I liked the way she did it. We had a routine, got it down, in and out, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it was, haircut done. I didn't go to 66 different people get a haircut. So what I'm thinking is, I think the thought process in Mr. Watson, and again, I'm not in his head, Jeff, of course. I didn't have money taped to the Schwantz, as you said.
Schreiker,
sorry. I think he was there's a bit of a fetish going on here. And I think that, you know, had he found a girl who was willing to take care of his, as you call it, swanker. I think he would stick with that instead of being a serial swanker.
Well, first of all, here's where you're wrong.
Oh, I'm wrong in this? Oh, please.
I'm going to explain.
Please explain, because I'm dying to know how I could possibly be wrong in this.
First of all, you're just an average Joe, just like myself.
Absolutely.
You get up every day. You know, maybe if you're lucky, the guy down at the corner store knows you from coming in at the same time to buy your roll and coffee in the morning.
He has it ready for you as you walk in the door.
No, I never had that. Some of them do. Yeah, those are the guys that come in and force themselves on them. And they just want those people to fuck out of the store as soon as possible.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
I'm talking to the normal guy, the guy at the gas station. They'll be like, oh, hello, how are you today, Tommy? They're like, yeah, good, very good, Habib. Mr. Watson has an unimaginable, and especially now, unimaginable amount of money, a mountain of money, if you will.
Okay.
And he's on the top of it. And if he says, I want a massage today by a redhead, I want a massage today by a blonde, I want a massage today by an Asian girl, I want a black girl, I want an Icelandic girl, I want a French girl, whatever he fucking wants,
uh-huh.
he has the money to get. Now, I'm not saying that I would live life like this. A massage for me is bumping into my wife in the hallway when we're passing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's
yeah.
about the best massages that I'm getting nowadays. But this is somebody that's paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is the girls involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did they, 24 of them, all went to the same lawyer?
Well, I would imagine, I would imagine that somebody got a hold of their numbers from Mr. Watson's cell phones or, you know, somehow.
So yeah. Somebody took Deshaun's cell phone.
Okay.
And must have went, maybe he has a folder that says massage girls. They took a screenshot of it, and then they sat there and started sending texts and everything else.
Correct.
Because when this whole story came out, there was already 20-something people against him.
22, so, yep.
22. And it's like all of a sudden this case came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am by far, am I saying that this guy is, you know, solid citizen.
I think
you don't get 24 people pointing a finger at you. Because, you know, everything's cool.
Yes.
Something that definitely went on.
I agree.
I believe that some of them were willing participants.
I agree.
I believe that some of them were not.
I agree.
I believe that maybe Mr. Watson had a suave, debonair way about him where he said, this is little Deshaun and he would like a massage too.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because how else do you even broach the subject? I mean, listen. Not to get stupid, but we're each married.
Mm-hmm.
There's nights where you're looking at your wife. She's at the other end of the sofa. And you just look at her and you're like, tonight's not a good night to ask for this. This is not going to go well. I'm not even going to bother.
Yep.
I could tell, no.
Not even. Yeah. Let's not even bother. Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. The small window of opportunity is shut. And, you know,
yes.
That's it.
I agree.
That being said,
mm-hmm.
this guy here, either he's too stupid and he just felt as though because I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm going to be able to, we have some guests have arrived.
Ah, is that your lovely bride?
And then we got the lovely Basil girl.
Ah, Basil. Hi, Sharon.
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for the dedication. That was really nice.
You're very welcome. And that's all done by your husband, but we're always, you know, that's what we do for friends and family.
Have a good show.
Thank you.
I'm just here to deliver the little beef.
So we have one live in the studio.
There we go.
One's going to leave soon. Make sure that she's good. Put the blanket down for her, and then she stops. Listen, it is quite evident that, you know, like he has to, something had to happen. But then again, this is the thing that I question. And I think that maybe that this is a loaded case against him. How come the state found and the juries found no crimes were committed on his part? I don't understand that.
Well, because there's two different things now. You know, we both know that a criminal case requires a lot more evidence, which I'm sure there was no videotapes. You know, and the civil case requires, hey, Darren, how are you, buddy?
Well, regardless,
uh-huh.
I mean, somebody said that there was no laws were broken. Basically.
Correct. Yes.
How does one person who have been accused by 20-something women do this without breaking the law?
I can't answer, Jeff. I don't know what the evidence was. Again, at this point, it's essentially he said, she said. You know, now again.
Yeah, I understand that, but still, Tom, it's still if it was going to court, I would be one thing. Thank you. But it already went to court, and you're talking 24 people versus one, and they declined to go further with it. That's my only question.
Yeah.
How does that happen? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't get into the weeds on that because I really I don't know what they you know why there was no legal. Now there is still a civil case. There was speculation out there that he offered a global settlement that was very low, and you know, and everything was basically laughed out, and there's still, you know, depositions. But you know, Jeff, this is that far-reaching thing, and here's what you know. There's an outside chance. Now think about this: Robert Kraft, I think, got a few million-dollar fine. I don't think he got suspended at all. I'm trying to find it on the thing. Well, it says, as a result of that, she's made the NFL fined Ursay $500,000 and suspended him 6 games. So I don't know, but to me, you know, Robert Kraft went into a massage parlor and was only accused and by one person or at one time. This is 24. You know, at some point, what does the NFL do? Does the NFL let him play this year and then do after him the following year? Does he have to sit out another season? Now, think about this. What if he was to sit out again this season like he did last year and then the following year suspended? You know,
why
I mean.
Would he sit out this season?
He sat out last year. Last year he could have played. He wasn't suspended.
Well, he sat out because he didn't want to play.
No. The Texans didn't want to let him play.
Well, it's all started because he said he didn't want to play.
Well, yes, that is very true.
Spinning on and that they didn't let him play.
Yeah.
Now, the Cleveland Browns are a completely different story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They seem to be a little bit more loaded at quarterback in case something happens.
Of course. They know, but you think that's why they're holding on to Baker Mayfield? Is that possible?
No, I think some of these teams, then the 49ers, just didn't do the right thing and try to unload these players before they made their next move. I myself, personally, would have given Baker Mayfield another year, another shot, before I hook up with Deshaun Watson, knowing that you guaranteed the money, and yet you don't know when. There's no guarantee that this guy's going to play this year, next year. What happens if he gets a lifetime ban?
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. I mean, you know, I know that there is no punishment in the court system, but that doesn't mean that the NFL can't go after him. They can go after on the morals clause, and he can wind up with a year suspension, a 2 year suspension. You know, he can wind up with 6 games. I have no idea, and you know, to me, it makes no sense. I just think the contract they gave them was ridiculous. I don't think he's good enough to get a contract like that, and I don't think he's going to make them that much better of a team. In the end, I think this is going to doom this franchise. But I just don't know what is the NFL waiting for? Are they waiting for training camp? Well, you know, this isn't going to be resolved anytime soon. He's going to be doing depositions for a long time.
Well, they did say that it should be the NFL's investigation should be done by July, by 4th of July. So if that's the case, you're talking a little bit more than 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks,
yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
So now, listen, I don't understand. The NFL lets lawbreakers play all the time.
I agree.
Okay. Now, I'm not sticking up for Deshaun Watson because I think that a sex crime is a despicable crime.
Right.
Right. You know, regardless of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And with 24 women involved, something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I just don't – right now we have to say that this man is – he's – you can't say that he did anything because the court of law has said there's nothing, there's no reason to go after him. Everything, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if that's based on what the court of law says and has said,
yeah,
I myself just couldn't see the point of going after him. And what is the point? What are you going to get? Like, it just, there's just no reason to. I just don't see the point of it. I'm sorry, I don't.
So you think the NFL shouldn't do anything? He should be able to play because...
Well, let's put it this way. If the court of law says
mm-hmm.
that he didn't do anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
why is the NFL going to suspend him? The NFL, why don't they call up and the New York Jets and suspend Zach Wilson for crimes he committed? And be like, well, what did he do? Well, nothing, but, you know, we're going to suspend Deshaun Watson, so we're going to suspend Zach Wilson, too. Yeah, but what did neither one of them did anything? Did any of them break a law? No, neither of them broke a law.
I got you, but it's not. It's the clause is not a law clause. It's a morals clause. So while it doesn't necessarily say you have to break a law to be suspended for a morals clause, it does say you have to do things in the best interest of the NFL. And I don't think that right now Deshaun Watson spreading a favorable light on the NFL. They said that he had visited over 100 different masseuses, 66 times, specifically in the last 5 years. I think that there's a borderline thing here.
Well, listen, does that mean that if you went out on a Friday night after work and you went to a titty bar
mm-hmm.
for one beer, and somebody saw you in there and called up your house and told your wife that you were, Tommy is at a titty bar right now in Manhattan having a beer, that, you know, maybe she should go get a lawyer and divorce you and you should get suspended from your place of work because you were in a titty bar because somebody set a morals clause? If no laws were breaking, what morals were done wrong? That's my thing. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, if the court of law says, well, he didn't do nothing wrong, then he didn't do nothing wrong. I don't understand that. What are we looking for?
Well, like I said, while I certainly do agree with you on some of this, I do. Hold on a second. We might have a long lost guest here. Let me check something for you. 1 second. Sorry.
For nothing, Mike. You're 100% right. In this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. And to me, everything looks good. So I wouldn't say that he should go. Who you got?
No. We have a special guest on the telephone line, Jeff. I'm going to have to bring him on.
Uh-oh.
He's a special guest, Jeff.
Let me guess. Let me guess. Can I get a couple guesses before you bring him on?
You got it. Go ahead.
Okay. One, does he have teeth?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, wait. I want three guesses.
Good.
Well, I got my first guess right.
You're on the first. You're good so far.
My second guess. All right. Is he under 8 feet tall?
That would be correct. He's definitely under 8 feet tall, significantly.
Under 8 feet tall. Okay, so he has all his teeth.
Yep.
Under 8 feet tall.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So now my final guess.
Gotcha. Well, you got one more guess.
Is he waiting? Is he hanging on?
He's hanging in there so far. He hasn't hung up yet.
So does he have no hair, kind of short, maybe even kind of chubby by now?
I think that's a pretty accurate description of this fine young man.
Okay, then please bring him on. I think I know who it is.
Let's see if he wants to announce himself or I'll have to do it for him. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Caller? Caller, are you there? Dominic, are you there?
Try half man.
He's on the phone line. I don't know where he is at this moment.
Is he snoring?
Hold on. We're checking to see if he's snoring now, Jeff. You have to give me a second to find that out. Let's see if I can find if this young man is out there snoring. I do not see him snoring at this moment. Let's see if we can hold on a second. Let's see here. Hold on.
Yeah. Oh butt pirates.
I'm gonna put him back on hold because I don't know, but he's up there. So if he wants to come on, he can reach out. I put him back on hold.
Hang up on him.
I did.
Because then if he calls back, then we know he's there.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I don't know what happened to him, but he's up there. And
I will say.
Well, go ahead.
That the night of him falling asleep might have been the single greatest moment in hard rock and sports history.
Yes, I have all of those. I have those saved for life, no matter what this show ever does. The fact that we have Dom on the air snoring is pretty much the highlight.
I don't forget that. You picking him up, and here he was out cold on the phone. Oh, my God. he's a couple sheets to the wind.
I would say at least a few sheets to the wind.
Yeah,
but
laundromat to the wind.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. Waiting for the Rangers to come on. We got the Yankees up 1-0 in Minnesota, having a great season, 40 wins over 16 losses. So Yankees 24 games over 500, and I believe they're 7.5 games up in the division. If you give me a half a second, I want to confirm that. The Mets lost 2 in a row. A little bit of a rough patch. A lot of injuries for the Mets. Yankees are 7.5. Do not know who won and who lost last night, so they're anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5 games out, depending on who won and who didn't.
The Yankees?
Yeah.
I'll let you know right now.
But thanks for hanging in with us. We got a lot to still do tonight. We're talking a little Deshaun Watson, and I think Jeff and I differed on this one.
They lost last night.
Yes.
So they are 6.5.
Okay, so then Toronto must have won, so they're 6.5 games out. The Yankees playing good baseball. They have a nice stretch right here, and then they get a tough stretch to get the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Rays again. So a tough stretch when they come back to the stadium after playing the Cubs this week, and I'm looking forward to that. I love games like this. Now, this is, you know, watching the Yankees and the Twins, it's nice. Yankees win, blah, blah, blah. But Yankees and the Cubs, Yankees, Dodgers, I get into that. I don't like interleague baseball because I think it takes away from the World Series, Jeff. But if it's forced on me, these are kind of the weekends I really like. Yankees Cardinals, Yankees Cubs, Yankees Dodgers are a lot of fun because they remind me of a bygone era when, you know, these were World Series games, and it was a lot of fun, you know, to watch. So it'll be good this weekend. Yankees, I think, at home against the Cubbies, and then they got Tampa. Toronto and Tampa, or Toronto, Tampa, and the Toronto, I forget that. And again, like I said, the Mets right now in a tough stretch. Looks like the Yankees just got the score tied, a home run by the leadoff hitter for the Minnesota Twins. So as we wait for the Ranger game to get started in a couple minutes. And in the meantime, we're still talking to Sean Watson. So Jeff, let's get past this point because we're not going to really agree. I do not believe he should be allowed to play. I think where there's smoke, there's fire, and just because there's not enough of evidence to convict him and send him to jail does not mean there isn't some impropriety or stuff going on.
There wasn't enough evidence. One thing I put light on in there, but there wasn't enough evidence to send him to trial.
Correct.
To jail.
Right.
You're already jumping the gun there.
No, I agree. I agree, but I still think that there is – listen, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if there's 3 people, maybe. If there's 5 people, 10 people. Jeff, we're the 24 people who have come forward. Now, again, do I think every one of them is solid citizens? No, I don't. I think a lot of people on this. But, you know, let's put it this way. So now his attorney, Jeff, his attorney, Rusty Harden, comes out – and says sex during a massage is not a crime. Now, you're a lawyer. Sex during a massage can be a crime if it's forced sex. Now, if you say consensual sex is not a crime during a massage, I'm with you. But sex during a massage does not automatically mean you're innocent.
You're 100% right. 1,000% right. But he's also right, too. So, you know, consensual sex is not a crime when your client has been accused of having sex on any level with a masseuse. Maybe you shouldn't even bring it up.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. You should be a little smarter as your attorney to keep your mouth shut.
Now, I've studied very little law.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I think I was in college for about 15 minutes when I went to go find out about signing up one day. So I didn't really take many law courses in my time there.
Gotcha.
But even I would know that if your client is accused of something, you really shouldn't be bringing it up as a subject. Okay.
Yeah.
And
very smart.
If everybody involved consented, then we wouldn't be in the position that we're in with 24 other people. You know,
I agree.
I agree with you. Something probably happened. You also have to turn around and say that, you know, the court said that there's not enough here to further it. So, I mean, I just don't understand if the court of law and a jury of his peers said there's nothing else to see here, you know, you have to move it along. That's all there is to it.
I got you, but okay. So let me ask you this question. So let's take that. Let's take it out of this of that, Jeff. That part of the conversation. I'm just something. Can the NFL, okay? Can the NFL take a marketing promo PR hit and not suspend him at all? Even though maybe you're right, he wasn't convicted. Nobody's sending him to jail. It's basically hearsay. Can the NFL and in there, you know, listen, we're social justice warriors. Can the NFL allow him to play without some sort of punitive damages, something to be done to him, whether it's a huge fine, a suspension? Can the NFL survive that?
Listen, I don't hear anybody calling for his head now.
Well, again, you know, that's okay because right now there hasn't been a decision, but you don't think that...
No, there's nobody that's coming out right now as we speak saying that this man needs to... They let him get traded. They let him sign a huge guaranteed contract. There's nobody saying this guy shouldn't be allowed to play football. Never once did anybody ever come out and say this guy shouldn't be allowed to play football. The 24 people that are against him are definitely not going to say he should be playing football because that would mean that his contract gets voided and they're not going to get a mega payday. That's one thing. Second of all, nobody's saying that he should go to jail. And where are these people, the 24 people? You know, none of them ever came and stood out in the public and said, this is what he did. How come he's allowed to play? How come he's still on the
team?
No,
that's not true. There's a couple that's had... there's a couple of them that did some interviews with Greg Gumbel. I think it was Brian Gumbel.
Yeah,
there's a couple. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. They come out and said that he asked one of the girls to massage just above his penis and then was kind of wiggling toward her, and you know she went through this whole thing about what he did and how he did it and how you know she ran out of the room and then he insinuated this is your line of work. You don't want basically a bad referral from a guy like myself. So, you know, there's been at least two of them came out publicly and told what happened.
And we're hearing one side of the story.
Oh, 100%. But then if he's innocent.
We're not hearing the second side of the story, which is his.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're hearing out of 24 people, you said that we've heard from at least two.
Correct.
Out of 24.
Yep.
Excuse me. Okay. Now, do I believe that some of these women had sex with him? Definitely, without a doubt.
100%. And I think some of them had sex with him willingly.
Well, I think a lot more had sex with him willingly. I just think that somehow, some way it is caught on. And once again, you know what? This girl, how come they didn't call the cops? 24 women are claiming to have been sexually abused or harassed by Deshaun Watson, but yet nobody called the fucking cops. Nobody called the cops. Same thing with Bill Cosby. Sex crimes from 40 years ago. Nobody called the police. I just don't understand these people. You're talking about a multimillionaire. You want to scare the shit out of him, you call the cops. Maybe next thing you know, his lawyer contacts you, and he's got a check for a couple million dollars. If like, oh, you know what? No, I changed my mind. I was under stress. I took it the wrong way. Sorry. Everything's cool. I'm going away now. I'm going to go buy that.
Well, let me ask this last one then. Let's say they don't suspend him and he plays, and sometime next year he's already offered them a settlement. So if you're innocent, you're not going to jail. You're not going to jail, and then you're innocent. Why are you offering these girls a global settlement? Why are you saying, hey, if you're innocent and you've done nothing wrong and you're not going to go to jail because so far nobody has put you in the position of having to appear in a court of law, why are you offering a settlement?
For the same reason why you're sitting there saying that he should be suspended by the NFL. Because there's people that believe that no matter what happened, whether he's innocent or not, that he should pay a price. So now is a global settlement, which I'd imagine means that all 24 women would split a sum of money.
Correct.
Maybe you turn around and you do that. So it costs you $10 million to pay these women off and be like, listen, now you just leave me the fuck alone.
Yep.
And that's it. So for somebody like Deshaun Watson, who plays football for a living, who wanted to get out of his contract with Houston and wanted to get on with his career, maybe this hit, you take this hit, this is half a season's worth of money, and now you're back in the game and you're playing again. The NFL will forget. Once he comes back and plays and he wins a few games for his new team, that's it. The NFL and is going to forget. His home team fans are going to forget. A lot of people are going to forget a lot of different things once he starts playing and he will.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's guilty or not, and these women, and then now here, if these women, why would they say, you know, okay, we'll take the money. We'll take the money because now at least you're getting something out of it.
No, he's
not going to jail. They already proved he's not going to jail.
Listen, O.J. didn't go to jail yet. O.J. had to give up $33 million because he was found guilty in a civil case. So
I understand that. And O.J. didn't give up a penny because he spent $33 million staying out of jail.
Pretty much.
And when he wasted all his money to stay out of jail, he knew that he was never paying whatever civil service or civil trial.
Well, they garnish his money. So any money he makes during appearances, he's got to pay some of that money towards the people. So, but
you know that he had money protected, and he had
no. I'm not disagreeing with that. I agree with you 100%. All I'm saying is, if he were to settle and say, okay, I'm going to pay you money so this goes away, I just don't see how the NFL could let him do this and him not get suspended. I have to be honest with you. I think he gets a year suspension. I don't think he'll do a year. I think he'll go in, he'll argue it.
What is the point? What is the suspension based on? Why are we suspending Deshaun Watson? He has not been found guilty of a crime, but we're going to suspend him. What is and if he's going to, unless he's guilty and he turns around and says, so you guys are going to suspend me for a year. This is going to go away in the courts. This is going to go away in the NFL. And I start playing next year. This is what you're telling me?
Well, I don't think they can in good conscience not suspend him. It could be a couple games. I think they're going to come out and do the bold. He's getting suspended for a year. It'll be all the headlines. He'll go and appeal it, and he'll wind up with four or five or six games. I think that's the reason why they brought in Jacoby Brissett. That's why they're moving forward with it.
Them bringing in Jacoby Brissett, it's no big deal. He sucks anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but he's like, a legit quarterback. He's played. He's been a starter.
But he still sucks.
I agree. But I think that and there's a reason his salary, which is guaranteed $230 million. He yet only gets $1 million this year. Why? Because the NFL, if they suspend him six games, eight games, two games, they can only do that based on $1 million. Let's say he had gotten a $20 million salary this year. They'd be able to, you know, he would lose, you know, whatever game suspended based on $20 million this year. If he's suspended it, and I think they believe he's going to be suspended this year, it would only be based on $1 million. So they lined up his contract to be that because they believe he's going to be suspended.
Possible. But I also don't see the point of suspending the player if it's proven that there was no crime committed. I just don't see the point behind it. It just, it's like I'm not even in my truck right now. It's parked out in front of my house. Want to come give me a speeding ticket? You know, the thing is dead cold. It hasn't been running since I got home from work. So Deshaun Watson got a massage, and he had a couple women go a little further and massage some other things, and he tried to coerce a few other girls into it. If that's attempted rape, then why didn't they go to the police and turn around and say, this guy attempted to rape me?
Jeff, I agree with you. I don't know why. Maybe they felt that...
The girl it happened to didn't go to the police, but yet she found another 23 other women that are going to say, okay, yeah, I'll jump on this bandwagon.
Listen, again, do I think that a bunch piled on? I agree with you, Jeff. I think a bunch of people piled on, but I'm a big believer when they smoke this fire. And some, you know.
Sometimes the neighbor's yard is on fire, too.
Listen, again, 100%. But, you know, this started with something that was legit. And then did a bunch of people pile onto that? Yeah. But do I believe that along the way, listen, you're not going to tell me he went to 66 different people in the course of 5 years, and some of those people didn't fall to his, you know, they all had the same thing. You know, basically, he came in, got undressed, and positioned himself in a certain way that, you know, he made it clear what he was looking for. Sometimes he went a little further. Sometimes it didn't go to anywhere. But to me,
are we supposed to believe that Deshaun Watson was getting laid, his way of getting laid was to call up a masseuse? If that was the case, every fucking lonely man in the world is going to be calling up some masseuse somewhere, positioning himself on a table with his Schweiker pointing north.
Schweiker. But yeah, but you know what? While I understand it, and I, you know, but some guys have a fetish. Some guys have a thing that they like things. You know, for a guy like Deshaun Watson, it may have been too easy the other way. You know what I mean? Just to be able, you know, the guy could go out there, drop the Schwantz on the table or the Schweiker on the table, and most women are just going to go for it. That wasn't enough. Didn't get him as excited. It was too easy. This was a challenge. And again, I have no idea. All I'm saying is he has not come out there and defended himself vigorously. His own attorney has basically said he had sex with some of these women and it's not a crime. So he's already admitted I've had sex with them. Doesn't mean that he's wrong.
But he didn't say that he was wrong. He didn't. He's not denying the fact. He's telling the truth.
Right.
Okay. There's somebody that, you know, after all of this, well, not even that after all of this time has gone by, it's elapsed. Some time has elapsed. You get one or two that say, like, you know what? I just didn't like the way that he talked to me. I didn't like the way he came off to me. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. Yeah, I had sex with him in the past, but you know what? I just didn't like the way he came off to me. You know, maybe he slapped me in the ass. Maybe he grabbed my boobs as I was laying down. Yeah, I used to let him do that, but this time it was just wrong. I just didn't like the way he did it.
Right.
You know, dude, there's a lot of sick bastards that will let themselves get into bad positions, and then whatever happens, happens. I'm not saying that he's right. I'm not saying he's wrong. All I'm saying is that he's already been found not guilty in a court of law. So to me, I don't understand. This has got to be a hit against the prosecuting attorney that, like, okay, your case is crumbling when they already said in the court of law that nothing happened. Why are we here? What more is there to do? So what? It doesn't matter if you get one girl or 200 girls. It all said that there's nothing going on. So it's up to them to prove that he did something anyway.
No, I agree with you. Again, the amount of evidence needed to convict in a civil trial as opposed to a jury trial or a criminal trial are two different things. So you don't need the same amount of proof that you would need in other ways. So I think that's a very big part of this. You know, OJ couldn't get convicted in court in a criminal trial, but the evidence in a civil trial is not necessarily as much as needed, and he was convicted and the whole bit. Whether he had to pay a nickel out of it or not, he was still convicted. I'm not, and again, I think this is going to get settled. I think he's going to offer enough money to make it go away. And I think the NFL is going to suspend him. We're not going to come to an agreement, but I think he's going to get suspended.
I don't think he's going to offer no money. I think he's here.
He's already done it. He's already done it. He's already told him.
He's already done it, but he hasn't made a second offer. So now if you make an offer to 24 women, okay, even if you offer them each $250,000, right, whatever that's going to come out to, 24 girls divided by four, so what is that, about $6 million? Even if it was $7 million to split amongst the 24 of them, and they said no. Okay, up to $500. So now you're talking $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
No. So what the next step is, he's going to have to go up to $1 million a piece. If they don't take that, yeah, they may want justice, but, you know, I don't see it. I don't see it.
All right, we'll see. Hard Rock Sports, Jeff and Tom here having some fun on a Thursday night. Glad you guys are with us. And hope you stick around. We got a little more. We got another hour or so on the show, and lots to talk about. We got no guests come up next couple of weeks, but we do have the big Jeff birthday show coming, and you know I'll try to have a few surprises for that. And then of course the big 8th anniversary show on the 28th of July. Our first special guest of the night will be 80s 90s wrestler B. Brian Blair will be joining Jeff and I. He's officially committed to being on the show. So we'll hope that he keeps that commitment for us, and we'll be looking forward to having Brian Blair on the show on the 28th. So stick around. We got lots still to do then and now, and we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little music right now. Jeff, you ready?
Yes.
Now, Jeff, you and I got to see Kiss right before the pandemic, I believe. I don't know if it was the year before the pandemic or
at least the year.
Was it a year? I know it was like March. I don't know if it was March of 19. I think it was March of 18, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was March of 19.
Okay, so right before the pandemic, essentially.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, so you, myself, Paul, and our buddy Mike Passamonte. I just spoke to Mike on the phone yesterday for the first time in a while, as a matter of fact. He's doing well. Owns his own company now, does some site safety. And seems to be enjoying life, doing a lot of traveling, and he said to say hello to you. He's Mike's doing well, but we got to see Kiss, and I don't know about you, and I'm sure you weren't paying attention to anything. A lot of people have accused Kiss and a lot of bands, but Kiss specifically over the years for using backing tracks for vocals and all this other stuff. And you know what I came out of that night was, I could care less. You know what, if Paul swinging on a line across the Madison Square Garden, I'm not expecting almost 70-year-old Paul Stanley to be able to maintain his key and tone and all that stuff. And if he needs a little help, screw it. The concert was still a great concert.
I'm sure that he'd, at the very least, singing through auto-tune, you know what I mean?
A little enhancement?
Not enhanced. Auto-tune kind of levels the voice out.
Right.
I don't want to give up names. I know somebody, we both know the person.
Mm-hmm.
I seen them play. They kind of had an auto-tune.
Oh, really?
Help them. Yeah, not a professional, Island Man.
Okay.
That helps them maintain an image.
Wow.
And I see why they use it.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I was kind of like, wow. Kind of like took away the mystique of that.
I guess. I understand. But again, as a concert goer, I sat there that night. I enjoyed the show. I thought the band musically sounded great. I thought the singing was good. I mean, it is what it is, and I take the warts and all. But it seems in a recent concert in Belgium, Kiss drummer Eric Singer forgot, ended his the song one or two measures a little early, and it threw all of a sudden the vocals out of whack. And it kind of showed that the band was using backing tracks, and people lost their minds and all that. Now the band hasn't, that I've seen, had any sort of comment on it, Jeff. But let me ask you this question: I mean, you go to see a band in their 70s, a rock bands, the Stones, the Kiss, bands are in their 70s and 80s. You know, should you really be surprised that they need a little help with what they are?
You know what, Tom? I think it depends on the band, okay? I think it depends
Why do you say that depends on the band?
Well, say a band like Kiss.
Okay.
Okay, which is more of a
theatrical
stage show and,
yeah,
and a nostalgic
mm-hmm.
stage show with that.
Mm-hmm.
With Gene Simmons spinning the blood for close to 50 years and
mm-hmm.
the things that Paul does and everything else and how they incorporate a stage show into the show.
Yeah.
To me, a stage show is different than the show. We saw Black Sabbath. They came out on a stage. They stood in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
They played. They killed it, and then they went home.
Correct.
Kiss is running all over the place. They're moving around. A lot of these bands that we liked when we were younger, they're older now. They can't move around like they once were able to.
Mm-hmm.
But they still go out there, and they do what they can. And, you know, they're kind of close to home, so to speak, because they're not moving around, whether maybe they can or they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just like, no, my back hurts. I'm not doing it.
Right.
You get a band like Iron Maiden, and if you saw Bruce Dickinson using backing tracks, because he's the singer that we all think he is, and Rob Halford using a backing track, it may be a little like, oh, man, wow, you know, that sucks. Couple that with, you know, some of these concert tickets are $300-$400 a piece for
yeah.
a ticket
yeah.
that you're paying, and you're like, I could, this guy's basically singing along to the CD. He's doing karaoke to his own music. And, you know, I'm paying $200, $250. And, you know, now my date wants a shirt and she wants a beer and she wants a pretzel. And then I got to feed her, you know, it cost me $500 just to walk in here. Plus, and now the guy's not even singing. And, in a band like Kiss, who maybe should have called it a career, 20, 30 years ago, maybe, you know, maybe they prove that they've been milking us, you know, like when you're selling air guitar strings, I mean, you know, come on.
Well, let me ask you this question. So is it better? Now, I'm not saying I want to go see a lip sync concert from Iron Maiden or Kiss or Black Sabbath or anybody else. But if the band is musically playing really well and they're enhancing the vocals because a 70-year-old singer like Paul Stanley or a 60-something-year-old singer like Bruce Dickinson isn't exactly hitting, and such. We played the Bon Jovi stuff a few weeks ago and how bad the vocals sound to the point where people want to get rid of him. You know, if he had a little bit of help, we're not talking about lip syncing. I'm just saying a little bit of help and you get a great concert out of it. Is that allowable and is that okay?
Well, no, it's not a great concert then, because then it's not everybody is playing up to their expectations, especially the singer. If I could see having some guitar tracks, because on the album there's one guitar player in the band, but on the album there's three different guitar tracks. So the guitar player is going to play one guitar track live,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to have two guitar tracks behind them. So this here way,
yeah, sounds full. Like,
you know,
yeah,
that's fine. I could see that, okay? Because not a lot of things could be duplicated if there's four people, but yet there was eight tracks.
Right.
So you can't have four people duplicate double the amount of tracks. It's almost impossible.
Right.
But if you have Paul Stanley, he was singing, but now he just blatantly can't sing. But now he could go out there and lip sync. Well, then he's not singing. But yet you're taking my real $200-something per ticket.
Mm-hmm.
For me to sit here and pretend that I'm seeing a real concert when all I'm seeing is three quarters of a concert, because the singer is not real. The bass player is real. The guitar player is real. The drum is real. The stage show is real. But yet nobody's singing. You guys haven't sang in years.
Well, I'm not saying about a lip sync. I'm saying is, let's say there's a part or two in the thing where he can't vocally make that reach. And in those circumstances, he needs a little help. Well, let me ask you this question. You brought up Sabbath. What, you loved the concert, the last set they did. You know, I thought it was great. It was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. You're right. They basically stood in the same spot like they were, you know, standing on top of the $20 bill until the train left. You know, nobody moved, and it was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. What have you found out now that Ozzy had some backing tracks? Would that change your opinion on what you saw?
Well, I don't mean to argue this fact, but I know that he didn't have.
No. I'm not saying that he did. I don't think he did. Nobody's ever accused him. I'm just curious if you looked at it now and somebody said, "Hey Jeff, by the way, Ozzy had a few backing tracks during these songs because he can't quite get there." I'm saying is, I'm just asking, would that change your feeling of how it, how you would perceive that last tour if you found out Ozzy was singing Partial?
It would change the way I thought about the tour. But knowing that if you listen to the live album that they put out at the end, and in one of the songs you actually hear his voice crackling because he can't sing it.
No.
That's one thing. And second of all, Sabbath tuned down lower than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
So songs that were tuned to 440 were tuned to God knows what, maybe D, a whole step down, so that he could sing them because he could sing no more. But you know what? Sabbath also stopped playing 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they haven't played since, and they never got back together, and they stopped.
No.
But Kiss is still going strong, and they are determined to finish this tour.
Yeah, and I think they should, and I think they should go out of it. You know, listen, I would respect it more if they actually came out and said, yeah, listen, we're 70 years old. We need a little help, and we're doing it. You know, I don't really care for it. I will still go see their last show in New York. I'm going to do my best to go see it. But, again, I don't really like it, but I also have to understand that they're in their almost 70, if they're not already 70, and they're not the same. But everybody has their different opinion.
Then you don't do it. I got a shed put up, right?
Yep.
And I got a power line, electric line behind the shed. I want to run the line into the shed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring your old man over. Let's have him get this done.
Okay.
Well, how come he can't do it? Why? Because he's in his 70s. And I wouldn't expect him to do it.
Yeah, no, so again.
The point being is that you can't ask somebody who doesn't have the possible, and I'm not discounting them, the ability to get back in there and get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
To continue to do the job. But yet if Paul and Gene are going to continue to play and continue to charge real life money to play, and they expect you to pay that money, well, then I expect them to sing.
Would you prefer them singing a little badly? You know, I mean, I don't think Paul's going to be terrible.
Well, all you do is you tune your guitar a little bit lower to compensate for your voice. All the bands do it.
I'm sure they're doing it now.
Okay. But you can't have Kiss charging God knows how much for tickets. And they're like, okay, just cue the tape. And everything is on tape. And maybe they have counters on stage. Or they have things in their ears telling them, okay, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 3, 2, 1, and off they start going.
Yeah.
You know, that's robbing the people. It's robbing the people.
I'm not just, again, not disagreeing that you know, I don't think you should hide it from the people. And then if I decide I want to go to the concert anyway, then I go to the concert knowing the fact that there's a little bit of help in the background here. So I think that the band should announce it. Hey, listen, you know, I can't do everything I want to do, so I'm going to go out there and keep doing it, and I'm doing it based on the fact that I got a little help. And then then I respect that. I don't want them to hide it, is my point.
It's called Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you going to watch them? If I invited you to my house and I said that my band was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I sit you in my living room, and then all of a sudden I come out from the other room holding a little plastic guitar, and you see my TV, and you see his video on, and then next thing you know, I'm going off, and you say, wait a minute, that doesn't look like your bass, and I'm like, yeah, but what's the difference? I can't play that, so here I am playing it on Guitar Hero. It's the same shit, because if I was able to play it, it wouldn't have sounded like that,
mm-hmm.
but I can't play it, so I'm just going to use this for the songs I can't play, and then when I'm ready to play the songs that I do know, I'll just go play them on Guitar Hero on the real bass.
No, again,
people, for the price that they pay, Tom, it's robbing people.
No, Jeff, again, I'm not disagreeing that I don't think you should. I think you should do it if you want to do it, but you should let people know you're doing it so that way it's full trans. It's full trans. If you call me and said I want you to come to my house and I am going to play Guitar Hero for you because I want you to hear these great songs I'm learning for my band. I go in there fully knowing that I'm going to hear you do that. Yes, if you fool me and I come to your house thinking you're going to be bringing out the Lakeland and I'm getting the plastic guitar, yeah, of course I have a right to be pissed. So Well, I'm saying is I don't have a problem with it. I just think they should be transparent about it. And then if somebody doesn't want to waste their $300 on a ticket to go see it, they have every right. But if I'm going there thinking I'm hearing the band and I find out later that I'm not, then I think it's a problem. So all I'm just saying is whether it's good or not, if I decide to go, I decide to go, but I need to know what I'm hearing before I go.
And then what they should turn around and say is that, all right, this is where we are right now.
Yeah.
Okay? We are too old to be playing. We can't play no more because we're just too old. We can't hit the notes, can't sing half the notes that we were able to do at one point in time. We're having an awful amount of trouble. So what we're going to do is we're going to have pre-recorded vocals. The concert tickets are still going to be $300 a piece, though. And, you know, we want you to come because we want your money.
Right.
And, you know, we're falling short of giving you a complete show, but we're going to tape it. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the vocals from certain shows, well-known shows, from the Alive One album, and we're going to play those.
Yeah, I think you're going way too overboard on this.
So then them telling you ahead of time that
but again,
yeah, we're having trouble, yeah, is the same thing.
No, but again, I all I'm saying is if you, I don't like the idea of doing it, but if you're going to do it, if you're saying, hey, I need a little help, so during the show, in some spots, there's a little help on the vocals, or there's a little help on an extra guitar part, whatever they decide, make it known. And then if you, me, or anybody else has said, hey, I still want to see that, here's my money, then it's fine. I don't like the fact that they hide it from you, and then it becomes a problem. Because then you're right. Then I believe you're being robbed of your money because you think you're going in here and hearing a certain product that you're not getting.
You're being robbed of your money anyway.
No, I disagree. If I tell you I'm doing it and you still want to come, then it's on you. You spent the money. You know, full disclosure, you know.
That's going to a karaoke show.
But nobody's putting the gun to your head to go.
I understand that, but it's still a band now that is...
Again, I agree.
Playing their own material, still hijacking you for a full concert price, and then playing to a tape vocal. If you turn around and you tell people, we still feel like doing a stage show, and the mics will be on, we're going to do a hey yeah here and there, but we can't sing any of these songs anymore. Nothing is us singing at all whatsoever. Nothing. As a matter of fact, Eric Singer playing drums, singing Beth, sounding just like Peter Criss, it just happens to be coincidental. You know.
But again, as long as it's transparent, and I shell out my money knowing that, there's nothing wrong with it. Again,
no,
absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like anything else.
So now does that mean we don't have Anthony Carey with the Hard Rock and Sports Band? Okay, so let's get the band back together. Let's get some vocals from his tapes, and we'll put a picture of him up there, and we'll just play the vocals. You can't do that.
You can. Here's the thing. You can if people show up. Then it's no problem. Then you've got your answer on it. If people show up and they pay their money and they say, we could care less who's up there, if Anthony's really singing or not, we just want to see the band and have the experience, then there's nothing wrong with that if it's fully transparent. But if I'm going to a show thinking I'm hearing Kiss live or a Hard Rock and Sports Band live and I'm not, that is a travesty and that's what's not right. But if I know going in...
They've been doing it for fucking years.
And people still go. And people still go.
And they're retarded for spending.
I'm not disagreeing. But like for me, I know what I'm going to see. Kiss. I know that I'm gonna go sometime next year. See their last concert in New York. Some of the vocals are gonna obviously be sung by a track in the background. But I'm gonna go. I'm gonna spend my $300 and I'm gonna go because I just want to see Kiss live before it's all over with. Doesn't mean I'm thrilled about it, but I know going in what I'm getting. And at that point, it's on me. I might be the idiot, and I agree with you on that, but it's not wrong if people want to show up and pay their money to see it. If Kiss tells me they're really singing and I show up there and I find that they're putting on the backing track, now I've been robbed of my money. So that's where I disagree with you. But
going to be robbed anyway because you know that's what they're doing.
Right, but again, I'm fully aware of it, so I am not being robbed of it because I know.
No, you're just willing to pay
that
kind of money for that.
I agreed. Well, that's
you're
the point.
You're still being robbed. That's it. End of story. If you're not going to see a complete band play and you're playing for a complete ticket, You're being fucking robbed.
No, you can't say robbed. Robbed means you're being taken something. So you're being something against your will. And it's not against your will.
That is, listen.
It's
you
not.
$300 to see a.
But
a
you know. You knew.
You know what?
Sure you knew. Sure it does.
I'm not.
Oh, you're wrong. You're wholeheartedly wrong on this one.
So if you were going to buy a car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they said to you, all right, Tom, here's the new car you wanted. Everything is great. Okay. Except there's no driver's seat. We put a seat everywhere else in the car except there's no driver's seat. And be like, well, why is there no driver's seat? Well, we're trying to save a little money here and there. So this is how we do it. This is the best way we can save money without putting a driver's seat in. So now Kiss, who's putting Paul Stanley out there to drive the Kiss machine, and he's singing half these songs, but then you find out he's not singing, that it's a recorded track. That's not right.
No, I agree with that. But if you know that, that's, you know, Jeff, you described it. Have you ever seen a car as is? As is. But to buy the car is as is. Jeff, if I call you up and say, I got a car, I want you to buy it, and I tell you there's nothing wrong with the car, and you drive it away, and the muffler falls off, I've robbed you. But if I call up and say, hey, Jeff, I got a car, it ain't perfect, you buy it as is, and you decide I'm going to buy it as is, not knowing what could be wrong with it, and you drive it off the lot, that's your problem. You took it as is. No matter what happens, that's on you. There is that possibility.
That is, yeah.
So it's the same with this. If I tell you that you're coming to a show knowing that the singing or the guitar or parts of everything are not legit, and you say, here's my money, anyway I'm coming, you're not being robbed. You're 100% wrong.
Anybody that charges you the prices of today's concert and not up there, in front of the microphone, singing and projecting a voice from their self and playing their own guitar is robbing you.
Well, nobody's ever accused them of not playing their instruments. They've talked about some.
They're not going to turn around and tell you that they're not.
But again, you're making my argument. I'm with you. If I show up at a show and you're telling me you're playing guitar and you're not.
What I'm saying is, I'm not making your argument.
You are.
They're fucking. You're accepting of them.
No, but again,
thing and not being able to play as long as they tell you, but they're not going to tell you is one thing. That's one thing. Second
yes.
of all, even if they tell you, they're still charging you
yes
full price for those tickets,
and you're paying it, so you're not being robbed.
They didn't turn around and say to you, Tom, we're not playing or singing this show, so this show's going to be $100. Okay,
but nobody's put the gun to your head to go to that show that you know they're not playing, so it's not robbery. It can't be robbing you.
They're jerking you off.
No, that's okay. That's different. I'm not disagreeing.
But they're jerking you off. They're also robbing you.
But they're not robbing you. You can't be robbed if you know.
No.
If you know going in, hey, I'm going to see a half a Kiss show, but I'm paying full price, and I pay the full price, I'm not being robbed. If I go and pay full price and find out later, that's robbery.
They're not going to tell you. They're not going to turn around and tell you.
But again, Jeff, you're making my argument. I agree with you. If you lie to me and tell me it's a real show, and then I find out later it's not a real show, I've been robbed. But if I walk in the door and you say, some of the guitar parts aren't right, some of the drum parts aren't right, and we're using a lot of backing vocals, and I still decide to go and pay my money, you've disclosed it. As long as you disclose it and tell me, and I'm fully aware of what I'm saying.
Okay, and they can still tell you.
Yeah.
And yet you're still being robbed.
I disagree with that. You can't be robbed if you know.
This is what we're robbing from you, okay?
But you went.
Doesn't matter.
Of course it matters.
They're taking your money.
But you're willing to give it. Jeff, you're wrong. You're wrong on this one.
No, I'm not.
100% wrong.
I'm wrong because if you're willing to give your money.
Then you can't be robbed. You can't be robbed if you're willing to give it.
You're being robbed.
You're not being robbed. You can't be robbed if you're willing to give the money away.
That's not true. That's not true. You're
How can it not
robbed.
Be? Nobody's putting a gun to you. No, it's being robbed if somebody says.
I know what being robbed is. And what being robbed is going to pay $300
right.
for a fucking ticket when the band ain't fucking playing in town.
But, Jeff, you're willing to pay it. Nobody tells you have to pay it. If I say to you, Jeff.
But you're going there to pay it. You're being...
No, you're 100% wrong on this one. No.
Track on, and this is
but you know doing. It. You know it. Hold so on, you paid it.
Hold on.
I'm just saying I can't rob you if you willingly hand me the money knowing everything about it. If you want to say, hey, I tricked you and I didn't tell you everything, yes, then you'd be 100% being robbed. But if I tell you, this is what we're doing, and you still say, hey, I could care less, I want to come, that's not robbery. It's bad business. It's a lot of things. It's not robbery. You're not being robbed. That I disagree.
I'm going to play a couple songs for you because I just joined Iron Maiden.
Okay, but
I'm going to just replace the Harris, and I'm going to charge you $300.
But I'm not paying it. I don't want to pay it.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to play it on your show.
You can play, but again, that's two different things, Jeff. You're making an argument that doesn't make any sense. If you tell me, Tom, I joined Iron Maiden, and I say, hold on. No. If you say I'm in Iron Maiden and I hand you $300 because you told me you're an Iron Maiden, that's a robbery. But if you tell me I'm not really an Iron Maiden, but give me $300 for a concert.
Tom, you're being robbed of an experience. You're being robbed. Oh, you're being lied to. You're being deceived.
You're not being lied to.
They're not telling you, bro.
But that's two different things, Jeff. It is.
Gene Simmons is never going to come out here.
But see, that's two different things. I agree with you on that. That I agree with. If Gene Simmons doesn't tell me that he's not playing, he's robbing me. But if Gene Simmons steps up and says, hey, half the show, I ain't playing. I can't do it anymore. I'm putting a backing track on and I go, hey, Gene, no problem. I understand. Here's my $300. I've been told, and if I decide that, that's on me. You're right. If Gene Simmons just does it and doesn't tell me, that's a highway robbery, and you deserve your money back. That's just because you're going back and forth.
And half the people
that
have gone to see Kiss, more than half the people that have gone to see Kiss in the last God knows how many years,
sure,
are deserving of every money.
And I don't disagree with that. I'm saying is, right, if the Kiss, I'm not disagreeing.
Meaning that they've never told you.
I agree with that.
That is, they robbed you.
I agree. That I agree with, Jeff. I agree with you on that. If I went to the show 2 years ago with you, and I find out now that they had backing tracks, I've been robbed of my money because I expected to see Kiss. All I'm saying is, if Gene says from this point on, we're playing backing tracks during our show and that's what you're going to get, if I decide to still go to that show and pay my money, I'm not being robbed. I know fully well what I'm getting, and that's it. But you're right. If Gene doesn't tell me and I go and pay my money, I've been robbed. I agree with you 100%.
Getting robbed.
No, you're wrong. But let's move on. I got it. You're stuck because you're going back and forth on that one. Because you are, because you keep saying, well, if Gene doesn't tell you, I agree with you.
So this means that if four fucking people
mm-hmm.
decide to put on makeup
right.
and go to Mode Music, okay,
yeah.
and set up camp out in front of Mode Music and say, Kiss is playing here. They're going to play one song out in front of Mode Music
mm-hmm.
on June 10th at 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to pay $100 to hear them play.
Okay.
Everything goes great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going great. You'll be like, wow, you know, I'm kind of far away. I'm by Scarborough Avenue. I can see them. It looks like Gene. Looks like Paul. I know the other two guys ain't Ace and Peter. That I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that's Gene. And then all of a sudden they're playing God of Thunder or something like that. And then the tape sticks.
But you lied to me. You told me something that was wrong.
Not them. They're not playing.
I agree with that, Jeff. I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is, that's, again, they've lied to you. I'm saying is, if they come out before the concert, I agree with that. What I'm saying is, we're stuck in here. I agree. If you lie and tell me that I saw something that I didn't see, you robbed me. I couldn't agree with you more. All I'm saying is, there it's out there right now. From this point, everybody knows that there's been using backing tracks. If you go to the concert now knowing that they use backing tracks, you can't argue with it. You know. You're not being robbed. You know they're using the backing track, and yet you still went. My point to you, and I agree with you, is if you tell me that that's Kiss, and I find out later that the guys behind the makeup wasn't Kiss, yes, I've been lied to, I've been robbed, and I want my money back. So I'm with you on that. All I'm saying is if they come out right now and say, hey, guys, you're going to hear backing tracks because Paul can't hit all the notes, so during this song and this song, he's got some help, and there's two bass lines that I can't do anymore, so I'm doing it. If I decide to pay my money, I'm not being robbed. I know what I'm getting. I know it. So there's no robbery. If you lie to me, there's robbery. That I agree with you.
Listen, that's how you're looking at it. You know how I'm looking at it? You're paying to see a band play. if it's not a band playing and they're playing with a tape or CD or tracks, that is lying. That is robbery.
It's not lying if you told me.
First of all,
but if you told me, it's not.
That goes to most concerts.
Mm-hmm.
It's being robbed anyway.
Jeff, I'm not disagreeing. It's you're right.
Any show that's worth
$200+ oh, Jeff,
an hour and a half's worth.
I couldn't listen. The other part is Kiss is doing meet and greets for $1,000 a head, and they stand behind plastic. There's no communication. There's no Joe. That's a robbery. Would I ever do it? I couldn't possibly love Kiss. I wouldn't give them $1,000 to walk in front of a glass with them standing behind me, take a picture and walk away, and then have to wait weeks for the picture. Absolutely. To me, that's robbery. But if I decide I'm going to pay that, knowing in advance what I'm getting, then shame on me.
Now, that's something else I got to disagree with you there. That, to me, is not robbery. That, to me, is just plain old stupidity.
Of course it is.
You're allowing that to happen. To spend $1,000 to meet any, and when I mean artist, I mean actor, singer,
sure,
artist, whatever. To spend $1,000 to meet any artist is just sheer fucking bullshit.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree. I wouldn't do it. That is stupid.
These guys should even put a price on that.
I agree with you. Now, listen, I understand that you want to mingle with the fans. You want to offer people something, but if I'm going to give, you're going to pay $1,000, there better be more to it. I better get a bag of swag. I better get 20 minutes of hanging out time, whatever, backstage passes. You know, this is completely higher robbery. But if they sell you a ticket and they tell you, here's the situation, you know, you're going in front of that glass, you're not going to talk to them, you're not going to have any contact with them, you're going to pay it, 10 seconds and you're gone. To me, that you're stupid and you've been robbed.
And not for nothing, that only reaffirms my mind and my mind when I say that you've been being robbed, because all they're doing is taking the people and the fans, regardless of what they're getting from you,
mm-hmm,
for your money.
Agreed.
They don't want to, Gene and Paul, I should say Gene and Kiss. Gene and Paul, they're not the rock stars that you think they are. They don't want to interact with the people.
No,
I
agreed.
I understand that to an extent. You got 70-year-old guys. Maybe their health isn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, listen, we would love to be with the fans, but we're older. We're afraid of COVID. You know, we get it. This is it. This could be the end of us. You know, we're not doing meet and greets no more. You want to come and get your picture taken? There's going to be a glass divider between us,
mm-hmm,
but it's not going to be $1,000. For $1,000, you get a Kiss concert. You get a backstage pass. You get to meet the band. You know, you get a couple T-shirts, a couple CDs. The CDs are autographed. You know, maybe you could make it up to the people that way, but to
yes,
hit them up for an additional $1,000 charge, then you're talking about $200-$300 for the fucking tickets. And if you're paying $1,000 to meet them, you damn well know that you're paying more fucking money for an up close spot. I refuse to believe you're going to sit up in the nosebleeds.
Yes, agreed.
Okay? So these people could be paying God knows how many thousands of dollars for a Kiss concert.
Oh, listen, 100%. I'm with you. I think it's ridiculous. And listen, I've seen some of these meet and greets where it comes with a front row ticket. It comes with a bag of swag. You get a half hour, an hour backstage where they give you food and drink, and you get to mingle with the band for a half an hour. Those, I wouldn't do it for the most part, but I can understand that you're getting some value. You're getting a great seat. You're getting to hang out with the band a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of value to that. This one is $1,000. You walk up, they take a picture, and you walk out. And I didn't see anything where it told you that you got an upgraded seat out of it. So to me, you're right. You're probably spending $1,500-$1,600, you know,
no,
for a concert and a 30-second pic, not even 30, a 15-second picture.
You know, I'm sure in your own mind, you have a way of the way things should be, just like I do.
Sure.
Because we are fans of music, and mm-hmm, we've been fans of music for a long time, regardless of whether, you know, what you think is right or wrong.
Right.
I would like to think that if I was in that position,
mm-hmm,
that I would like to stay grounded and realize that the people that are spending their hard-earned money to come backstage to see me are the people that the reason why I get to go on that stage.
100%.
You know what I mean? And
sure,
maybe I should be a nicer, cooler person to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my house that's paid for, my cars, and all the other experience I had is because of people like this that went out and waited online to buy tickets and CDs.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm in the position I'm in. And it's a shame. It's a
I think Kiss is the biggest fake of all this, Jeff, and I'll tell you why. Kiss hasn't had a legitimately hit song in 40-plus years. You know, they've done nothing but survive on the fact that their fans go to their concerts regardless of what music they put out there to hear the same songs that they've been playing for close to 50 years. And to me, that's a band who should be extremely thankful to the people who are going to their shows. You know, bands like Maiden and some of the other bands, you know, they're still living on songs that they did 25, 30 years ago. You know, and they're not living as large as Kiss. Kiss is still playing arenas and stadiums based on the fact of songs they put out 50 years ago. So to me, they should be really doing exactly what you're saying, is thanking the fans, especially on this last tour.
Yeah, and you know what, Tom? Unfortunately, bands like Kiss do not have to fucking be nice to the fans. They don't have to do
it. You're right.
Because of
the money.
You know, first of all, bands like Priest, Maiden, Kiss, all right? We've talked about this before. We'll probably talk about it again. Are these bands that have to put out new music for you to listen to? Queensryche. I couldn't even tell you who's in Queensryche. I just found out Scott Rockenfield is no longer in
Queensryche. Oh, he's been gone for 3 years, I think, or more.
Yeah, he's been gone for a while. There's some animosity between him and the guys in Queensryche.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like, well, just as much as there's animosity between Jeff Tate and the guys in Queensryche.
Two original members left? The bass player and one guitar player, right?
And Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, that's it, right?
That's it. And it's amazing
that
these guys, you know, like, they're playing small clubs now in Queensryche.
Yes.
Here's a band that was playing stadiums.
I saw them a couple of years ago in the Starland Ballroom.
Yeah, well, I think they've even got it smaller since then, Tom.
Really?
Yeah, because who the fuck wants to go see Michael Wilson and Eddie Jackson? Never once has anybody ever once said my favorite member of Queensryche is Eddie Jackson, the bass player.
Yeah, that's
true. It was always Chris DeGarmo or Jeff Payne. And once Chris DeGarmo left, when that band was just about peaking to the top, they peaked, then it just a slow decline down.
Yeah.
You know, this is a band that I remember going to see the Van Halen Monsters of Rock, and they said the missing monster. It was Queensryche. It was Operation Mongrong that just come out.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. It's fun for them. And these are guys who are work, and this is, they're going to be pushing themselves forever because they ain't going to have no money.
Well, at this point, the only way they can make money, I mean, I would think a lot of these guys are set, but the only way they can make money is by playing something out there. I don't know what they're making playing the Starland Ballroom. What could they be making, $10,000, $15,000 a show at this point?
Well, listen, if they're making $10,000, $15,000 a show, they're making $2,000 a night. You play three shows a week, $6,000. What is that, a week, $300,000 a year?
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. Remember when we went to go see Jeff Tate at the Highland Ballroom?
Yep.
There was his truck with a trailer, the only thing on the block that had Washington plates on it, which is where Jeff is from.
Yeah.
Seattle, Washington. It was the only sort of means that whole band traveled, broke their shit down, put it in this trailer, and drove around in this truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. Here's the part that I, you know, and that's why I'll give bands like Kiss and maybe the Stones. I mean, they're still playing stadiums. They're still playing big arenas. You know, the Queensryche of the world, where they were, you know, 30 years ago, whether they were the, and again, I don't know if they were, were they ever a headline in a big in big arenas and stuff? Did they ever get to that point before it broke down?
I don't think
so. I saw them a few times, but they were always, you know, second band.
Yeah, whenever I saw them, like, I'm just keeping an eye on my dog in case she tries to
jump,
move around and on the bench because she's got no eyes. See, can you see her sitting up back there?
I can, yes.
Yeah. Hey, Basie, lay down.
But yeah, I feel bad for those bands because they've had, you know, they never really got to that next peak, and they played these arenas, and sometimes they played stadiums. And unless it was a festival, you know, you know they're not playing these big shows like the Maidens of the World or Kiss and Van Halen. You know, now you're right. Now they're back in the club scene, and that's got to be a killer.
Yeah, listen, I've seen them open up for Def Leppard. Mm-hmm. I've seen them open up for Judas Priest. I believe they opened up for Iron Maiden.
Oh, a few times. I saw them twice open for Maiden.
I think they opened up for Metallica.
Yeah, I just don't ever remember them being the headline in a big tour playing arenas.
No, I don't think. You know who would know that, man?
Joey. Yeah, Joey would know because he's a huge Queensryche fan. But, yeah, I always thought that they were in that category of great bands. But when I think about it, I'm going to go do the research this week and check it. But I don't remember them being the big headline on big shows.
No. I'm going to look it up right now.
By the way, end of the first period, Rangers, Tampa Bay, no score. It's been a pretty entertaining first period, a couple of post shots. So we'll see how the Rangers. But the Rangers have done a nice job in this game. So far, so good. So let's see how the rest of this plays out. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. We got a few more minutes. We got some more to get to. Hey, Jeff, talk to me about the Ring of Honor. We are breaking balls all the time. We go back and forth, Jets and Giants and all that stuff. But, I saw this week that the Jets are going to have three new entrants into their Ring of Honor. Mangold, Ferguson, and Revis. Now, listen, I think we'll both agree. I think Darrell Revis will be a Hall of Famer someday, not just a Ring of Honor member. So I think that's well-deserved. But with Mangold and the Briggs Show, while they're great Jets and they have good careers and they certainly deserve it, can you see either one of them being actual Hall of Famers?
Yeah, I could.
Both?
I think Mangold is probably the best center in the NFL at his time in the NFL. And, nobody gives a shit about what the center does. And the Brickashaw Ferguson missed one play in his storied Jet career, and that was a play by design.
Right.
And, you shouldn't be just as, I don't want to say Iron Man streak, but, the guy was a great player to miss one play. Never missed a game because of injury, never missed a practice because of injury.
Yeah.
Will these guys get recognized? Probably not. They probably don't have enough Pro Bowl appearances and All-Pro appearances to push them into the forefront. But a guy like Mangold, I think that he should definitely make the Hall of Fame. But he's been out for about 5 years now.
Oh, easy. I think it's more than that, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know when his time finished. Oh, by the way, Queensryche opened up for Priest, Metallica, a whole bunch of different things. And Nick Mangold, he's 38 years old now, and he looks like he played till professional career.
Yeah, I got him up here, too.
Uh, 2008, 2009, 2015,
it looks like. Seven-time Pro Bowler.
2016.
Yep. There it is, New York Jets, 2006 to 2016. Seven-time Pro Bowler, second-team All-Pro once, two-time first-team All-Pro. I don't think I could argue that Nick Mangold was a great player. I think guys like Mangold. I think when they play on teams that aren't as successful, don't get a lot of national exposure, it's hard for them to get that momentum. When you're a running back or a wide receiver or a quarterback on bad teams, your stats can help you. When you're a great player, but have no real stats other than how many sacks did you give up or pressures, it's kind of hard to stand out in the crowd of guys. You know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, I think any offensive lineman, unless they're on a successful team, are not going to be given a second look, because if the team is losing, that means that the quarterback is throwing a lot instead of running the ball, controlling the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And if the quarterback doesn't have 50 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions for the year, well, then how good could he be? Because he don't have time from the line. And, you could just go around in a circle with this.
Yeah.
The way that you could look at it and say it. Is he somebody that should have been recognized? Mangold, definitely, without a doubt. He was the center of a team for 10 years.
Yeah.
On a team like the Jets, so was Brickashaw Ferguson. Were they the greatest offensive line? No, but if they did get to two AFC championship games together, they would have mainstays. These are guys, positions that didn't have to be worried about for years. Listen, it is what it is. Like you say, they didn't have gaudy numbers, and no offensive lineman has any kind of gaudy numbers. And if they are gaudy, it's usually pretty bad because they gave up a lot of sacks or penalties or something like that. But, you know, these were two solid players. The Jets didn't have to worry. The Jets actually had two great centers in a row.
Sure.
With Kevin Mawai and then into Nick Mangold.
Sure. And Mawai winds up as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but Mawai was a different story than I think he was a better player than Nick Mangold all around.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree. And he came, and he, you know, he had some success with the, with those Titan teams.
Yeah,
before
he
came to the
Titans that long compared to the Jets.
No,
the Jets more.
Absolutely,
but he also had a nasty streak too, Kevin Mawai.
Yeah, but so did Mangold. Mangold was just he has a sister who's a monster. You know, she's like
she's
a deadlifter or something.
But I don't think Nick Mangold had the same. Nick Mangold might have had a nasty streak when he just didn't have the same one Mawai did. You know, he was always kind of happy-go-lucky in Nick Mangold.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a picture of Nick Mangold I saw. I believe the Rangers were playing the Dallas Stars.
Uh-huh.
And he's behind the bench banging on the glass, and you could see him ribbing. Like, just the look on his face. You know he's doing something silly. Behind the Dallas bench, man. I got to find a picture. I'll show
you. Yeah, send that to me. That's funny.
It's great, man. If you see it, you're going to laugh. But you know, he's got the Ranger gear on. I'm going to look it up right now. It was great shit. So he's always kind of like, you know, happy-go-lucky. Where Kevin Mawai was, I remember him being so happy-go-lucky, you know?
Hey, Jeff, check out the somebody's there from Betting Bros Sports Talk.
Who is that?
I don't know who that is either. I just see them up there.
Well, hello there, Betting Bros Sports.
Yeah. We're about to lose Block Talk Radio, which we will be probably will be officially gone from our lives as of the July 1st. I don't think I'll be paying the subscription going forward.
I just sent you the picture.
Okay, I'll take a look at it when I get to my phone. Hey, a couple things, Jeff, I want to get to. First off, I want to I don't know why the comments. Okay, I don't know. Are we off the air on Facebook?
Why would we be?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know why we would be. Hold on a second. Let me just take a quick look.
I'm doing that right now myself.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look because for some reason the comment didn't go through. No, I see it there. No, it seemed to be okay. Yeah, no, we're good. We're on the air. I don't know what the problem is, but anyway, Jeff, I wanted to do. I do want to mention that the former bass player.
I'm a sub-seer.
I don't know what that means, Jeff. Seems like somebody's got themselves a website or whatever, and they're popping in on us. Thank you for doing that. But Alex John Such, the bass player for the for Bon Jovi, passed away this week. He played on their first five albums, and you know, I think he kind of helped put the band together. I think he played as a kid with Tico Torres in the band. Same thing with Richie Sambora. So he was instrumental in keeping the band together, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame alongside the rest of the band. So a former New Jersey guy raised in Perth Amboy and a longtime resident of Colts Neck, New Jersey, passed away at age 70.
He was that old.
70 years? Yeah, but John Bon Jovi's got to be in his mid-60s at this point.
Well, Tico Torres is 68.
Mm-hmm.
Bon Jovi.
How old is he? 65?
He's like our age.
Come on. No, he's got to be
60.
Old. Okay. I was going to say, he's got to be older than us for sure.
Not very much.
No, older. Not by much, but definitely older. Yeah. But, again, I wanted to mention we try to keep up on those things. Unfortunately, get a few too many of them lately. But
do you know any word why he what happened?
I did not see. It just says he died on June 5th. I have not seen the reason. Let me see. I got the one article here. Let's see if it gives us why he passed. No details were given on how or where he died. So, I'll keep my eyes open for it. If I see something next week, I'll bring it up. So we definitely want to get that on the edge.
Curious if it was COVID related, maybe, or you know, he had a hobby that died hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It seems like he could be a very well together guy, but you know, who knows? I think we're back up with the comments for Facebook. And again,
your other comment came up 3 minutes ago. You said, "Hey."
Yeah, but then it says an error occurred. Wait a moment, then try again. So on my screen, the one that I wrote, "Hey," it came back up later on. So again, I just was curious what happened. No big deal. But I'm glad you guys were out there listening to us. We're having some fun. We got a few more minutes. Jeff, you see, Aaron Donald got a raise, $40 million. Not an extension. He got a raise. They just took his regular contract and said, here's $40 million more, $30 million of it guaranteed. A lot of people think it's not enough. I mean, you know, this is going to lead me into my next category with you. You know, is Aaron Donald worth it? I mean, they gave a lot of money to Cooper Kupp. They gave a lot of money to Aaron Donald. At some point, how could you pay everybody?
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing. They gave an absurd amount of money to Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy. I got to be honest with you. I think Cooper Kupp's a good player. Is he ever going to replicate what he did last year? I just don't see it.
You know what, Tom? I don't know. He between him, I think two of the more exciting receivers in the game today are him and DK Metcalf.
I agree.
As well as Tariq Hill. DK Metcalf. I wish the Jets went and did whatever they had to do to get him. I really do, man. I think that they get DK Metcalf, Zach Wilson becomes one of the best quarterbacks in the AFC East. Or is it Rams going to the Super Bowl again? Oh, okay. Who knows, man?
Yeah, I don't. I think it's very hard to repeat. I also think that they caught lightning in a bottle a little bit last year. And again, at some point, it's got to catch up with you with the cap. You just can't fill all the slots with good enough players. You have no draft picks. I mean, they gave away all their draft picks to get Stafford and others. And now you're paying these two guys. And again, deservedly so. They had great seasons and great. And Donald's probably the best player in the game right now. But you can't beat everybody.
Being that they didn't have any first round draft picks for quite some time.
Yeah.
I guess they figured they're going to secure the players that they have right now.
Yeah.
They can run at it for the next two or three seasons. Cause if let's say the next two, three seasons, they get to the Super Bowl twice and win one more.
Right.
You know, would you consider that successful?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I think it's almost, I didn't like what they did the last off season, and they gave away all the draft picks and they made all those moves, but it worked out. So you can't argue it. And yeah, you're right. They deserve to go into the season as the team to beat. I find it very hard. Most teams, it's been a long time since you had a team repeat. I don't think it'll happen again. I think there's a lot of things in their way. But listen, they are the team to beat.
I got to be honest with you. I don't have the team to beat this year.
It's hard to say.
I think right now, today,
yep.
I would say the team to beat for the Lombardi Trophy this year is going to be the Buffalo Bills.
I would agree with that. I thought the same thing last year, but I certainly think this is their chance. I think they have to, otherwise you're going to run out of time.
Every year, well, I think they got plenty of time ahead of them because Josh Allen is still young.
Yes.
I think that every year, they get they're inching a little bit closer, and I think that Kansas City took a step back.
I agree
now,
with that.
We've talked that there's plenty of talent in the AFC,
yes,
which I firmly believe is the better conference.
100%.
I think that the Buffalo Bills may be the best team. I don't think that.
I agree with that.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, Indianapolis, San Diego, or LA at this point in time, Denver. I don't think they're as good as Buffalo.
Yeah.
Nobody in the AFC East is as good as Buffalo.
No.
Kansas City and maybe the only team that could give them a run.
But I also think that there are more options in the AFC. I mean, obviously, again, you picked the two. I agreed. I think Kansas City took the step back. I think the Chargers are better right now. I think they've done something to help their defense.
The Chargers are better than they were in the position they were last year. But did they do enough to overtake the Chiefs, and did they do enough to overtake the Bills?
No, I don't think they're better than the Bills. I do think they're better than the Chiefs right now. I do. I think they are. I think you're going to see that. You know, the question is going to be, you know, can the Cincinnati Bengals build on what they did last year, or was that, you know, the Cinderella team you always talk about?
I think that they're going to be an up and coming team. Mm-hmm. But my thing with Cincinnati is Joe Burrow going to be the next Dan Marino?
Very possible. Make your move, get there, and then never get back. You're saying?
Well, you know, he may end up getting close. He may get to the AFC Championship. Is he ever going to make it back to the Super Bowl? Is he capable of winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't see Cincinnati as that team that could take the next step. They've been to the Super Bowl twice, three times total, but twice years ago, and it took them, what, almost 30 years to get back again.
Yeah.
I just don't see them as the team that's going to take
No, but I think that there's enough talent there. I think they made some good moves in the offseason, and we're going to break this down when we probably even more on the Sunday Audible show, but I think when you go through the AFC, the road to the Super Bowl is much tougher. I think in the NFC, you're talking maybe three teams, four. Right now, Tampa, the Packers, and the Rams are the three teams I'm putting out there. If I'm missing somebody, remind me. But I think those are the three teams.
Well, I got a case to make to take two of those teams out of there.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Tampa Bay, between them getting old.
Yeah.
And you know, Brady's I would question Brady's commitment.
Okay.
For Tampa Bay, because I believe that there's some internal strife there with Bruce Arians. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, you go through this whole waiting period for Aaron Rodgers to make his pick.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his pick and you trade away his receiver. I don't understand that at all. And then you really don't, you know, get him. Is it an adequate replacement for what they got?
No, not so far. No, not so far.
You know, and then he turns around and says that he's staying with Green Bay is his team. He's going to stay, finish his career with Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've already been to the NFC Championship game how many times?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I'll say this. I think I put those three teams in there because they're the best of a bad bunch. Give me a couple teams in the NFC that you think might be teams that make it. I mean, Dallas has had every opportunity, haven't done it. So I'm not putting it. The rest of the NFC East, I don't think is ready to really make any sort of a major run.
That's why I got to agree with Betting Brothers Sports Talk that I can see then why he's pushing the Rams.
Yeah.
Out of all of the teams in the NFC, I mean, maybe the Cowboys if they did enough this year. But you know what? I see your point. I hear what your point is. I just don't think that there's another team in the NFC that could take it to the next level. The way that I see the Rams not making it is of injuries.
Nobody's done it so far. I don't know if they're – and again, yeah, any team can have problems. Like, is Arizona ready to step up? Is Arizona ready to make that move?
It ain't going to be the Saints, the
no.
Panthers,
nope.
The Falcons, the Seahawks, they're out of it. The
yeah.
Cardinals can say we're out of it.
Yeah.
The 49ers still don't know what's going on with their quarterback.
Yeah, you're not telling me Trey Lance is starting for the 49ers and they're going to be a better team.
Who's that?
49ers, you're not telling me that Trey Lance is their starter next year and they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Not happening in my book.
I don't know. I mean, they were in the playoffs last year.
With a half-assed quarterback. I don't believe in Trey Lance. Now, again, they might, and he may come out and prove me 100% wrong. No, I agree. But that's my point. You put a guy in there who's questionable to begin with, couldn't get on the field last year with a questionable quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo.
They left him. They left that. They feel as though that they did the right thing, I think.
Well, I don't disagree.
Let him sit on the bench and watch and let him go in there, for which I think was stupid, throwing him in for a play here and there, because then if he wiped out his knee, and you're going to tell me that you lost him because he did a fucking
trick play. Yeah, exactly.
You
yeah,
know, like
yeah.
How stupid is that? That you maybe ruined a guy's career and your chances.
I agree the whole lot. I'm not buying into that. So in the NFC, I think it's limited. I mean, does Minnesota ever get to the next level? I don't see it. I mean, there's nobody else in that division I think is ready to make a big move yet. the NFC East is probably just the Cowboys as a legit contender. Could somebody else have a Cinderella season? Of course, anything's possible. But you know, as legit teams go, I think you're down to three, maybe four teams in the NFC. Where on the other side, I mean, the AFC West, you can make a case for any of those teams being a good team this year. The Raiders, the Broncos. I'm not high on the Broncos, but they did get a legitimate Super Bowl quarterback. So
I think the Broncos are going to be over. Not the Broncos. The Raiders are all going to be overrated.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, they got Josh McDaniel as the head coach now. They seem pretty set. They got Devontae Adams. Carr seems to be very happy there. You know, but to me, they're still the fourth best team in that division.
I agree.
Yeah, so as good as they could be, they may be, if they were in the NFC, they may be a legit title contender. But because of where they are, they might not even get out of their own division.
So I think it's
going to be interesting. The one thing I thought was interesting today, and I vehemently disagree. Now, I know you don't pay attention to sports betting and all that stuff, but the Jets over under, and we're going to do this later on, the Jets over and under for wins this year is 5.5. Okay, and I think that I actually believe the Jets will go over. I think they have a chance to win 6 games. They have a tough schedule, tough division, but I do. I think the Jets are going to go over on that.
Nobody believes in the New York Jets this year.
Well, I was just going to say.
And they're opening up their first four games. First of all, hello, John. How are you?
What's up, Johnny boy? Their first four games are all AFC North teams.
AFC North, 4 in a row against the AFC North. So there's a good chance that they're going to be 0-4 by the time that's over. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I have a little bit of faith this year. I have a little bit of faith.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking that the New York Jets, they may end up 0-4, but at one time into the season, before it's over, the Jets are going to be a 500 team. Near the end of the season, they're going to be talking about the Jets and the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying they're getting in the playoffs, but they're going to be part of the playoff conversation before the
season. I just think the only problem I have with the Jets is their schedule is extremely tough. I think they'll be a better quality team. I don't think they're going to have a lot of embarrassing games. But I don't know. Again, I think they'll find a way to win 6 games, and I'll pull out their schedule for next week or whatever. We'll look at it a little better. But my point to get to this was there are more than one publication that thinks the Jets will have the number one pick in the draft.
I know. I don't understand that at all.
It's because of this. Like, you know, when you we break each other's balls, but there's a lot of people picking the Giants to win 8 or 9 games. Because they play a very loose schedule. You know, they play Jacksonville, they play the Lions, they play a bunch of teams that aren't very good, and there's a chance. Again, nobody's winning games in June on a piece of paper, but teams give it a legitimate chance. But the Jets, I've said it, are in a tough spot because they may be a little bit better and they may play better games, but they're in a very tough conference and an extremely tough division, and I think that's kind of the problem. Now, I still don't see how they're the number one pick in the draft next year. I just don't see that as their...
I don't see it either, not unless every other team is going to win like 7 or 8 games. But I'll tell you this much. The Jets have improved their running back division, their running back...
core?
Section, whatever you want to call it.
Their core, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Their wide receivers are better. Their tight ends are better. Their offensive line is better. Their defensive line is better. Their secondary is better. Okay, we're hoping that with a better running back, tight end, and wide receivers and a line, that Zach Wilson will be better. Robert Saleh will have another year under his belt as a head coach. I'm not saying that the Jets are going to be, you know, 12-8 or whatever, 12-7, whatever the case is, to make 12-6 at the end of the year. But I just think that –